Get up here. Bring the words. Miss, it's right. I was going to say, hey, look, I'm happy to be back, but what's fitting to happen right now? Okay? You get with Betty, okay? This is, I did what I normally do. I came off and... I came off and forgot a soundtrack to sing. So Betty threatened me and said, well, you can just do something. We'll play for you to sing. And I thought, well, no, I'll just bring a tape tonight. And then Diane, the other one you can talk to, said, well, he does this one a cappella. And I said, okay, well, you singing with me. So we'll see how it goes. Because I'm kind of stuck in bass mode this morning.
You get it too low and you'll be singing solo.
Yeah, I know. That's what scares me. Y'all know this one. It's been around for a long time. I like the old songs anyway. I don't know. I just, I listen to gospel music on the radio and everything, and it's all this new stuff. And to be honest with you, if you don't listen to the words, you can't tell any difference between that and what they play on the other stations. I like old-time, full-part, gospel singing quartets. That's what I like. And this is one that y'all have heard, I'm sure, all your life, but hopefully I won't mess it up too bad. See if I can get this started right. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday stand there, my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah. Looking now across that river to where my faith will end in sight, there's just a few to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. Someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. I really appreciate Ken. He sent me an email. He, you know, y'all know this, but he got a job over at City Hall. So he's not at the police department every day. He's at City Hall. So I don't get to see him as much, but we still kind of stay in touch. And I was real happy when he sent me an email and said that he was taking a few days off and could I fill in. It worked out really well because right before he sent me that email, I found out that I was getting moved to a different job within the department. So I'm no longer on patrol. I'm not on the road anymore. I think what happened was they looked at me one day and said, you know, he's getting a little bit old. We might better move him off the road. I don't know if that was the reason they did it or not, but I got moved. And to be honest with you, it wasn't my choice. I like the road. You know, it had its downfalls, but I liked doing it. I didn't go to them and say, move me to this position. It just happened. But there are some good things about this new job. Number one, for the most part, it's Monday through Friday during the day. I don't have to be up all night. I can actually sleep at night, at home, in my bed, which is a good thing. I told Diane, I said, you know what? You can take those darkening curtains and all off of the windows because I'm going to sleep at night now. I want the sunlight to come in during the day. And another thing is my captain told me, he said, look, you're in charge of that over there. He said, as long as you get the work done and you get your hours in, you set your own schedule. I don't care when you work. So I go in early in the morning. I get off in time where I can be home when Diane gets home. We actually get to sit down and eat supper together every night. I mean, I feel like I kind of got a life now. This is, and here is the best part about this whole thing. I told him because I inherited it, a calendar with things on it that I have to do. But thankfully, they were only scheduled out like 2 or 3 months, okay? And I told him, I said, there are some of these civic groups that have the meetings on Sunday afternoon. I said, I don't want to meet on Sunday afternoon except to meet at the church house, okay? I won't be, look, everybody at our church, and by the way, the last time, I'm going to have to tell Ken, he's got to take vacations more often. I just feel like I don't see y'all enough, but anyway. The last time I was here, I think I was telling you that we had either just moved or were trying to move back to Wilcox County. Well, it happened. We're there. We've been there a year and a half. Absolutely love it. It's quiet out there. It ain't nothing around my house but cotton fields and woods. I mean, it's just, oh, man. You know, the first night we stayed down there, of course, I grew up in the country, okay? But the first night we stayed down there and slept in the house, we were all excited. I laid down, boy, and it was like, oh, man. And I start, and y'all, I don't know if y'all I've told you this about me or not, but when I lay down at night, it takes me probably 10 to 15 seconds to be dreaming, just gone. Diane gets on and says, well, how do you go to sleep that fast? I said, clean conscience. If your conscience was clean. You know, I cut it up with her. But, you know, really, I mean, I'm serious. She swears we've had conversations before that I don't remember. That scares me. I don't know what I've agreed to. But anyway, I go to sleep quick. So I lay down. I'm relaxed. And it's like, and I'm just about gone. And all of a sudden, she grabs my arm and just, and I'm, what? She said, listen. She said, exactly. And laid back down. She woke me up to tell me she couldn't hear from me. But anyway, we love it. We got back down there. We're happy. But, we go to church 2 miles from the house, Union Baptist Church, and it's great. We've been associated with that church for years, and we just haven't bought it. But when I got moved to this new job, I was off this Sunday, so I went to church. Well, the next Sunday, I walked into church, and everybody was looking at me going, "Did you take the day off?" Because they've only seen me every other Sunday, because that's when I was off. And I said, "No, I'm in a new job now." "Yes, what?" "I can be here every Sunday." And it's like, I stopped and thought about it. Folks, it had been 17 years since I had been to church 2 Sundays in a row. And I thought, I can get used to this. So, yes, even though it wasn't what I asked for and it wasn't really what I wanted, I think I can live with it. 1 Corinthians. Last Sunday was Easter. Wasn't it last Sunday? I'm trying to remember. Yes, I actually got to go to Easter sunrise service. That's the first time in how many years I've been to a sunrise service because of work. But look, it's still close to Easter, so I'm going to throw one at you that still has something to do with Easter, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start reading in verse 12, and we'll go through verse 20. And then we want to talk about those verses a little bit. But, I do a lot of reading, and I've read stories about different people. Y'all remember who Harry Houdini was, right? He was a big escape artist and all that. But not a lot of people know that before Harry Houdini died, not only did he do all these tricks, escaping from being wrapped up in chains and dunked in water and all that good stuff, he decided that he was going to do his own research and he was going to debunk all of the seance people and all of the spiritualists and everything, and he was going to show them for the frauds that they were. He really didn't like the fact that people would go to these mediums or spiritualists or palm readers and all of that, and they would get their head filled with all this stuff, and he knew it was fake. He knew it was wrong. And so he spent a good portion of his life bringing that to light and letting people know that this is false. These people are just taking you. They are putting false things in your head. But it's kind of funny, because he even did that after he died. If people don't realize this, that he and his wife, they decided that if he died, that she would hold a seance on the anniversary of his death every year. And if somebody could, make contact with him and he could somehow escape death and make contact with her, they had an agreed upon phrase, just him and his wife, that he would get to her and she would know, okay, he escaped from the grave. And they did that every year. After he died, she had a candle that burned continuously by his picture from the day he died. And every year, that candle would be the centerpiece of the seance where they would try to make contact with Harry Houdini. And they did that for 10 years. And she did something quite curious after the seance the 10th year. She had that candle sitting there, and of course, it got to where this was a big event. Everybody would come because they wanted to see if Houdini could escape the grave, right? And after the 10th year, and that seance with that candle that had not gone out for 10 years, she did something that people couldn't understand. She put the candle out. And somebody said, "Why in the world did you do that?" You know what she said? She said, "Because 10 years is long enough to wait on any man." I guess she had proven the point. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. Okay? Well, you know what? People said the same thing about Christ when I was in college at a very prestigious Baptist university. I had a New Testament professor that I should have withdrawn from the class. I didn't. I was stupid. I just told him what I thought about him and walked out and, of course, failed the class. But this joker cursed Christ and made fun of those of us in that class who believed that Christ had risen from the dead. Now, you stop and think about the implication of that. Number one, I'm just going to throw it out there. That joker's lost as a goose. You hear me? He don't know who Jesus is. Stop and think about the implications if Christ had not come back from the grave. Look, everybody accepts the fact that Christ was a literal man that walked on this earth. Even the blooming Islamist, the Muslims will tell you that Christ was a great man, that he lived, he did great works, okay? And everybody, since Christ, they acknowledge that Christ was a literal physical human being that walked on this earth, are willing to acknowledge that Christ died, because that's what happens to literal physical people who walk this earth, okay? We all are going to die. But let me tell you something. When you start talking about Christ rising from the dead, not everybody buys into that, do they? But let me tell you something. We as Christians know that Christ came out of that grave. And you better stop and think about the ramification of that, okay? And that's what these verses that Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians are about. Start with verse 12, where Paul writes, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" In other words, there were some people in Corinth at the time that said, you know what? Yes, we live. Yes, we die. But there is no resurrection of the dead. There's no such thing. And Paul said, wait a minute. We're standing here preaching the resurrection of Christ. And if Christ is risen from the dead, then how are you saying that we're not going to be resurrected? Because we are. Look at verse 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ not be raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." You know what that's saying right there? And I'm gonna talk about this in a minute. If Christ is not risen from the dead, we have absolutely no hope. None. Stop and think about living your life with no hope. Do you know why people commit suicide? Because they get to the point where they feel like there's no hope. Folks, let me tell you something. Stop and think about it. How can you be a Christian and say, well, Christ didn't literally rise from the grave? Of course he did. Because if we don't believe that, we have no hope. Look at verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that have died." Let's pray together. Father, please add your blessing to this word. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house with your people and worship you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord. Don't let them hear me speak. Let them hear you speaking, Heavenly Father. I want your word to take root in their heart. And, Father, I pray that it would begin with me. And, Lord, we'll praise you for it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Let me tell you something. If Christ had not risen from the grave, there are six things that would be true. Here it is. Look at verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen," in other words, if Christ didn't come out of that grave, we find some things. "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain." Let me tell you something. Preaching is an odd thing. The Bible says that he uses the foolishness of preaching. there are times when I get in the pulpit and I think, what in the world am I doing? You know? I mean, it's kind of foolish to stand up in front of a bunch of people and try to convince them of something that they may or may not already believe, but something that really, to the world out there, seems so foreign. And so, in a way, yes, that standing and preaching is a foolish thing. But let me tell you something. It's because we preach about something that is true and something that will change people's lives. And the Bible says if Christ had not come out of that grave, then all preaching about Christ would be in vain. It would be, we would be standing up here lying about things because we wouldn't have any proof that Christ was raised from the dead. And people say, well, prove that Christ rose from the dead. We have historical writings that tell us that there were people who saw Christ alive after they had seen him dead. Do you know what? I have never, ever in my life seen a person die and then live again in this life. I've never seen it. Never seen it. Now, there might be some people in the medical profession who have, but I have not. You know, Diane and I, we've been greatly blessed over the last year and a half. We really have with being able to move to our new home and just being happy as we can be and everything with our jobs is going well. We still have them. That's a good thing. You know, so we can still pay what we owe. But we kind of had a tough year last year. I lost my dad back in May. My dad was 83 years old. He preached for 60 years. He finally retired when he was 80, and I thought, nah, he ain't quitting. And sure enough, I mean, 1-2 weeks after we had his big retirement celebration over in Wilcox County, the church he was pastoring at 80 years old, you know, we had this big retirement celebration, a big lunch. That church loved him. He had been there for years. And we had this big, you know, celebration day inside, and I got to speak at that, and but then we went over to Fellowship Hall and we ate till we nearly got sick, and you know how that goes. And they just were so nice to Daddy, and I thought to myself, he can't do it. He can't do it. 2 weeks after we had that big celebration day, son, guess what? C. Bill wants me to come preach for him. So he was Pastor C. You know, I told my sister, I said, I knew he wasn't going to quit. Let me tell you when he quit. He quit when he was 82 because he got in such bad shape he could not stand up. He just couldn't stand up. If they let him preach out of a wheelchair, he'd have done it. Okay. But he started getting some dementia. But anyway, long story short, I lost my dad back in May, 2 days before my birthday. And it was hard. It was hard. And my dad had to be in an assisted living home. And you know, when he had a stroke 2 months before he died, and I knew he couldn't stay there any longer because he was not ambulatory. Well, I was able to get him into the Georgia War Veterans Home in Milledgeville. And so I was burning the road up between my house and Milledgeville, you know, going to take care of him. And my sister was coming down, and she said, look, I'm going to stop by to see Dad. I said, well, you might better go on and get there because, you know, they're telling me he's not really doing well. I'm going to come up tomorrow. I've got to work tonight, but I'm coming up tomorrow. And she said, okay. I said, call me when you get there. Well, I went on to work that night. I had not been at work an hour. My sister got there. She called me, and she said, hey, forget work. Get up here now. So I knew we were there. And so I took off up there, and my youngest son went with me. And we stayed all night. My sister and myself and my son, and he never regained consciousness, but when I would lean down to talk to him, he'd raise his hands up, so I knew he heard me. And finally, about 5-6 o'clock the next morning, I told my sister, I said, look, I have to go eat. I'm diabetic, and I had not brought my medicine with me or anything, but it was time to eat, so I said, look, I've got to go eat. She said, I do too, so let's go. And so we went and ate there in Millersville, and I told my sister, I said, look, I got to go home and take medicine, and I'm going to take a shower and shave and change, and then I'll be back. And bless her heart, Diane was going to ride back with me. We got in the car, and we didn't even make it to Hawkinsville, and they called me and told me he had gone. That was hard. I wanted to be there, but I wasn't. But I know this. He didn't come back alive. He was more alive than he'd ever been. But he didn't come back to this life. And then in December, we lost Diane's dad. Same thing. Christian man. Lived a good life. Worked hard his whole life. Hard to lose. He was 85. So they had a good long life. But it's hard to lose them. But you know what? The only thing I can do now is have my memories and go to a grave for my father. The remains are alive. But let me tell you something. One day that grave is going to open up. And you know why? Because Christ came out of the grave. Look, my daddy preached for 60 years about Christ rising again. But not only did it say our preaching would be foolishness and be in vain, but right there in verse 14 it says, and your faith also is vain. You know what? If you have faith in something, there has to be an object that you put faith in, correct? You know, I have faith in my wife to do what she says she's going to do when she's telling me that she's going to do something. You know what? I had faith that she meant it when she said I do. I still don't understand that. It's one of the great mysteries of my life. But she said it, and I'm taking her at her word. I had faith that she said, I do, and she will, and she has. And what? June, April, May, June, 2 more months? Yeah, 2 more months, 38 years. She's still there. Thank God. But you have to have an object to have faith in before you can have faith. Faith, if it has no object, is no good. It doesn't mean anything. So Paul's saying, look, if Christ had not risen from the grave, this faith that we say we have, what's it in? It's in something that doesn't exist. But because He is risen from the grave, we know that He is the Son of God, and we can have faith in that God that He will do what He said that He's going to do. And what He's going to do is He's going to come back and get us all and get us back together with all of our loved ones. That's what I like about it. That's what I like about it. Listen, it says in verse 15 and 16 that the disciples would be liars. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. Paul's saying, look, we're standing here telling you about God and His Son Jesus Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And if He had not come out of that grave, it would make us all liars. You know, I got a friend. In fact, it was I did a wedding this weekend over in Hawkinsville. And I'll be honest with you, I have gotten a little bit teary-eyed and crackly-voiced at 2 weddings in my life. And that was when my oldest son and my youngest son got married. Those were hard. I felt like my kids are leaving me, you know? I just about did it at the one yesterday. Because me and that boy's daddy have been best friends for 30-something years. I remember when he was born, he's like one of mine. And when he asked me to do his wedding, I thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. Got through it, but we did this wedding. But me and this boy's daddy, you would have to know this guy's daddy. You'd like him. I can tell you, you'd like him. Great Christian, great guy. I mean, but he's very analytical, and he's very philosophical. And we have these philosophical discussions all the time. And he asked me one time, he said, how many times do you have to lie to be considered a liar? And this stuff just comes out of nowhere, you know. And I'm sitting there going, What brought that up? I'm just thinking, how many times do you have to lie to be considered a liar? And I said, once. And he said, yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it, too. He said, so have you ever lied? I said, yeah. Yeah. I said, you have, too? He said, well, yeah, now just think about it. I guess I have. Yeah. I said, we're liars, you know. But let me tell you something. There's something that I've never lied about, and that's Jesus Christ. I ain't ever lied about that. I will tell you right quick. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was a real person. Yes, he was Son of God. Yes, he came to earth. Yes, he lived a perfect, sinless life. Yes, he died on a cross because that's what he wanted to do. Not because of what those Romans wanted and the Jews wanted. He died on that cross because he wanted to die on that cross. And when he died, he went to the grave, but 3 days later, he came out. And you know what? That's why I have hope. That's why I can keep my chin up. And I can live life every day that God gives me in the hope that, hey, my life's been good. I can't complain. But it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I ain't quite as young as I used to be. You know, I can't play ball like I used to play ball. I can't do a lot of things that I used to do. I mean, I used to be able to get up here and I used to take this Bible like this and I would sit here and I would read those scriptures to you. I can't no more tell you what's written right there without these things anymore than I could. I mean, I can't. It's a blur. Even the highlighted stuff, I can't tell what it is. I have to keep putting these on and off, and that's aggravating. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. Just because I have to put these on, and just because I have to get up in the morning and give myself a shot because my body's wearing out, I still got hope. And I'm still going to live every day in that hope. Listen, the disciples would have been liars. Let me tell you something about the disciples. And I'm on, y'all be back tonight because I'm gonna talk about some things tonight that's pretty relevant to today's world, okay? But those disciples preached Jesus Christ. They believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed in the risen Christ so much that they were tortured and killed for Christ. Are we willing to do that? Are we really willing to do that? Folks, let me tell you something. They were tortured and killed for the cause of Christ. But let me tell you something. I know a lot of men that live for a lie. But I don't know a single one of them that'll die for a lie. They'll live for a lie, but they won't die for a lie. But let me tell you something. I know a lot of people that will die for the truth. Folks, let me tell you something. Truth above all, integrity. Every class I teach in law enforcement, all the new recruits coming through the academy up for Scythe, I teach them all. I got to go up there 2 more times this month, okay? And I teach them. And I teach them domestic violence, which is a whole other subject. But let me tell you something. I tell them. You've always heard you can't take it with you when you go. There's one thing you can take with you when you go, and that's your integrity. You know what that means? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So let me tell you something. I probably will never get promoted again at that police department. You know why? Because I have integrity. I tell the truth. We were talking one time, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but there are 3 men in my life, 3, who are not related to me, that are my best friends. And I've got several friends. I've got friends at the department. I got friends, you know, at my church. I got friends. But I've got 3 friends that I know that I could call at any moment, any time, day or the night, with whatever was wrong, and they'd be there for me. And they know that I'd be there for them. In fact, one of those men, his son's the one I married yesterday. But we got to talking one time, and Diane said, well, you know, you've got a lot of people that you know, and you got a lot of people that really are friends of yours. What's special about those 3? I said, I can tell you what's special about those 3 is that those 3 men tell me what I need to hear and not what I want to hear. That's a true friend. That's why they're my closest friends. They tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. They tell me the truth. And I want to be around those people. But let me tell you something. In verse 17, and we got to hurry. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet you are in your sins. In other words, sin would reign if Christ had not risen from the dead. Look, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. If Christ hadn't come out of the grave, there'd be no forgiveness. We'd still be dead in our sin. And you know what? God cannot overlook sin. You know why? Because God is holy. God is a holy God, and He cannot look upon sin. That's the reason He devised the plan of salvation. The plan that would send His only begotten Son to die for us, to cover our sin with the blood of His own Son. You know what? In my line of work, I've often thought about this. Would I be willing to die for another officer? Let me tell you something. You have a bond with those people that you work for. You're in the trenches with them every day. You face danger every day. And you've got each other's back. And I'm thinking, you know what? Everybody that I've worked with at that department, I would go into harm's way for them. I would put my life on the line for them. I would die for them. Because I know that they would do it for me. But would I give them one of my boys? See, that's the difference between me and God. I don't think I could do it. I'll die all day long. But don't ask me to give you my boys. But God did. And because He did, and His Son came out of that grave, our sins are forgiven. And they're covered. Verse 18 goes right along with it. Because Christ came from that grave, death, if He hadn't come from that grave, death would be final. Then they also which are fallen asleep or who have died in Christ are perished. Let me tell you something. I don't understand atheists. I don't understand atheists. I think there's a guy named Frank Turek that wrote a book. I'm going to get the book and read it one day. He said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That's the name of the book. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Atheists say there is no God. We got a kid that's coming on with the department right now. It's probably a good thing they moved me off patrol because he was on my squad on the FTO program. Now, let me tell you, cops are kind of brutal, okay? And there's a new kid that comes on the road. He's a trainee, okay? He is a trainee. He knows nothing. And every once in a while, you get a trainee that comes on the road, and he gets in a car, and he gets a little attitude like, I'm the police, and guess what? I know how to do this, so really stop. It doesn't go well for them, okay? It don't go well for them. Because we've got all kinds of things that I can't tell you about. Because you wouldn't think they were nice. But you know what? They get a whole new attitude. But we got this one kid that's on the FTO program right now. And he walked up and he said, Sarge, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, I understand that you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, I'm an atheist and you're an idiot. I said, oh, really? So I had a talk with his training officer. And after the end of the shift, he came and apologized. But he still had that attitude. He would tell you, look, once you die, he said, you might as well just live your life like you want to here. It don't matter. He said, do whatever you want to. Do drugs if you want it. You don't have sex with everybody you have sex with. Do what you want to. Live it up while you're here, because when you die, it's over. There's nothing beyond it. And he will tell you this. I don't understand that. Because they have no hope. And I did ask him several days later, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever thought about hope? And he said, what do you mean, hope? I said, you know, what do you hope for in life? And he said, well, I'm going to make a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. I said, you're in police work? You ain't real smart.
I said, what do you hope for? And we got talking about it, and I said, without Christ, there's no hope. There is no hope. I said, you're going to wind up being very miserable because one day it's going to hit you.
Hadn't changed him any yet, but I keep hoping. Folks, let me tell you something. If Christ had not come back from the dead, the grave would be final. That's why when I go to my daddy's grave, I can look at it and I can say, you know what? This ain't final. This ain't final. This is not the end. In fact, when I first saw my dad laying in that casket in that funeral home, my thought was this. I wish I could see what he sees right now. I wish I could see that. Let me tell you something. The grave's not final. Death's not final. Verse 19 says that our future would be very fearful. Listen to this, and I can't remember who said this, but I like it. If Christ is still in the grave, nothing really matters. But if Christ came out of that grave, nothing but that really matters. Do we live our lives as Christians that way? Do we live our lives as Christians like Christ coming out of that grave is the only thing that matters? Because, folks, let me tell you something. When you boil it right down to the brass tacks, in a Christian's life, that's the only thing that matters. It's Christ and Christ resurrected. Because of Easter, we have a future. We have hope that is secure, it's sure, and it's unchanging. And I thank God for that. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I'll talk to you all day long about Christ coming to earth. I'll talk to you all day long about the perfect sinless life he lived and the example that he set for us. And we ought to do everything we can to emulate his life here on this earth. But don't think I'm going to stop there. Because, folks, if he hadn't come out of that grave, none of the other would matter. None of it would. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose again. But you know what? That's still not the end of it. He said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't know when it'll be. You know, I look around and I see things happening in our culture and in our world today, and I think, boy, it can't be too long. It just can't be too long. But I don't know. All I know is this. It's like my wife, old country uncle, says, be packed up, prayed up, and ready to go. So are you ready this morning? Because it's going to happen. He's coming back. He's coming back. As we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, musicians come. I just want to ask, are you ready? Does the resurrection of Christ mean anything to you? Do you really believe that Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless life? But do you believe that he rose from the dead? Because, folks, he did. But do you realize he's coming back? He's going to return. He said he would. And when he comes back, will you be ready? Are you ready? As we stand and as we sing a verse of invitation, if there's a decision that you need to make in Christ, do it today. You don't have to come talk to me. I know I'm not your pastor, and that's okay. Look, if you want me to pray with you, I'll be happy to pray with you. I'll talk to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But don't put it off if Christ is speaking to your heart. You do what God leads you to do. Father, I pray that in this time you would have your will and your way as you speak to God's people for us. In your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.